Hello, everybody. Welcome to Geek Tyrants Weekly Podcast, number 72. This episode is... today we're going to talk about Robin Hood. Then we're going to have Ben talk about some Lost. Did you see the season finale?
Not yet. I went to a Lost Live event.
Oh, a Lost Live event. Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense. So you're going to talk about that after we discuss Robin Hood. And then we're going to talk about some geek news, such as, you know, Stretch Armstrong, you know, that movie that no one really seems to be excited about. Rumor hit the internet recently about Nathan Fillion playing Ant-Man in Marvel's adaption of that comic book. Then we've got Smallville. The season finale was this week, and we'll go into that a little bit. And then Heroes is over. Those are the topics that we'll be discussing today. So, first off, let's introduce the panel. I'm your host, Dr. Venkman. And excuse my voice, I'm just getting over being sick, so I may kind of go in and out. We also have with us...
Mazer.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey.
Ben P.
Ben. The P. Master.
P. Vader.
And then we have P. Vader. I love P. Vader.
I love you too.
Thanks, buddy. So, why don't we get into the box office numbers real quick? Just quickly going to go through that. We have Iron Man 2 that beat out Robin Hood this week. Iron Man 2 made a nice $52 million this weekend. It's in its second week. Robin Hood in its first week came in at number 2, making $63 million. Letters to Juliet, which I haven't seen and probably won't see, first week made $13.5 million. Just Right in its first week made $8.2 million. What is Just Right?
It's the Queen Latifah and Common basketball film, I believe.
Dude, I didn't even know that existed, so...
The only reason I know it exists, I've literally never seen a commercial or a trailer for it, but I drive past a billboard for it on a pretty regular basis. That's literally the only reason that I know it exists.
As well, they don't run an ad on Geek Tyrant, I'm guessing we're not the target.
Yeah. Number 5, How to Train Your Dragon, is hanging in the top 10. Congratulations to them, $5 million. Nightmare on Elm Street came in at number 6 at 4.6. Date Night hangs at number 7 at 3.8 million. Number 8, The Backup Plan, made 2.3. Number 9, Furry Vengeance, made 2.2. And 10 is Clash of the Titans, which is probably going to drop off the top 10 next week. That only made $1.2 million. Budget on that was actually 125. It made 160. They say they're going to make a sequel, but I don't see it happening. So
what's,
I hope it doesn't
what
happen.
Sequel? What is the story going to be?
It's not going to... There's going
to
be
they
no...
They picked story. Another Titan to clash with, apparently.
Apparently so. So, why don't we talk about the number 2 movie in the box office this week, Robin Hood.
I think I have much to tell you about history, about your history.
Your father was a visionary.
What did he see?
That kings have a need of their subjects. A dangerous idea.
Rise and rise again, until lambs become lions. My father died for this.
What does it mean?
It means never give up.
A king does not bargain for the loyalty that every subject owes him.
In the name of King John, pay or burn.
Many wrongs to be righted in the country of King John.
And I pray for a miracle.
That's something that we need to do.
We're common archers, Rob. The laws of this land enslave people to its king. A king who offers nothing in return.
Robin Longstride, also known as Robin of the Hood.
For the crimes of incitement to cause unrest, I declare him to be an outlaw!
All who shelter him alive shall be taken on sight. Nail, please.
seems we are to share my chamber. I sleep with a dagger. If you so much as move to touch me, I will sever your manhood.
Thanks for the warning.
Robin, your father was a great man. You are your father's son.
As many men as you need.
Are you ready to be who you are?
Yes.
What we ask for is liberty.
Liberty by law.
I saw it. Who else saw it?
I saw it. Mazer.
Mazer saw it. Anybody else?
Nope.
No.
Well, then you can ask the questions as we discuss Robin Hood.
All right. Absolutely. So let's start off with the most important. Was it good?
No. I know Mazer.
Okay. In the marketing, they made it feel like they try to go through history and try to make this kind of historically referenced Robin Hood and kind of a bigger film.
Yeah, that was the big marketing.
That was the big marketing
push. Oh, we're going to show you the real Robin Hood.
Yeah, the real Robin Hood.
And told.
And Russell Crowe is going to be Robin Hood. It's going to be the whole story. Originally, this story was called Nottingham, and it was going to be from the perspective of the Sheriff of Nottingham, and Russell Crowe was signed on for both parts, and it seemed like this interesting film, this new angle.
Well, here's the thing, too, and this is something I wanted to get into. This is something I want to get into after we kind of talk about what we thought about the movie. But, yes, the script was originally called Nottingham, and it was actually, like, really good. There were a lot – there was a lot of big buzz going on about this script, which is what got this movie into production. So this movie they went into this movie with this film – you know, with a great script. And it wasn't until after Ridley Scott and Russell Crowe came on board that they started tearing it apart. So you have these two, you know, you have this great director and, you know, this great actor that come in, and everybody's pulling the script in different ways, and all of a sudden we end up with a movie that had nothing to do with the original script. But we'll get into that after we talk about, I guess, what we felt about it.
Yeah. So after all that, I was like, okay, they're trying this. It's going to be a standard. And I've seen the Kevin Costner one, the animated one. I've seen parts of the BBC series.
What about Men in Tights, though?
Men in Tights.
Men in Tights.
I've seen that several times, actually.
That's my favorite Robin Hood film.
That actually is. I've seen parts of the Errol Flynn one.
That was a bit – okay, flat out, all of the Robin Hoods that have been made are better – than this movie.
Yeah. It's like,
now I'm not, see, I thought the movie was tolerable. Like, there were parts that I enjoyed in this Robin Hood movie. There were parts, you know, where I laughed, and, you know, parts that I thought were cool. Story-wise, there was stuff that I liked that they did. But in the end, the more I've, like, been thinking about it, the more I just, like, what did they do to this movie? But yeah.
For me, it was, they advertised it in this way that felt like it was going to be historical. And then just a few minutes in, my wife is whispering to me about the historical inaccuracies of the what's on screen in the first 5-10 minutes. And I've got to say, opening this film with these titles, these written titles in this kind of like illuminated manuscript type thing, it was completely distracting, and it felt... like,
dude,
there was some lazy filmmaking.
When they did that, I was like, really?
They literally set up...
They're going to start it out like that?
They set up everything, and they try to give you the historical... I mean, they try to set you up, and it's the language is so bad. It's not like Star Wars where, you know, you got this... a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It isn't that kind of like, okay, whoa, you're setting up this kind of idea. it was completely flat, and it just felt unnecessary and really...
I mean, obviously, I haven't seen the movie, but I find it interesting that you say that it starts out like that, and with a bunch of text kind of, like, setting up the film, because from what I understand, the entire movie is, like, a setup to the point where he actually becomes Robin Hood. Like, I've heard this film described... That's exactly right.
This is the origin story of Robin Hood.
Right. I've heard this, like, somebody, I forget where I read this or heard this, but somebody compared this movie to... It's like Batman Begins if the movie ended when Bruce Wayne came back to Gotham City, you know, like, the first time, like, and decided to be Batman, but that's where the film ends. Like, Robin Hood kind of, I guess, becomes Robin Hood, but doesn't, you don't actually see him.
He's called Robin Hood at the end.
Okay. Yeah, it's not till the end that he's called Robin Hood.
Which is interesting, because he doesn't even earn the name, he doesn't earn other names in this film.
Yeah, it was really weird. I mean, it really took you through the movie, just very fast-paced. I mean, they were trying to tell a lot of story in just such a short amount of time.
So that's why they needed the setup for the setup, then? Because there was too much that they were trying to cover?
I guess, you know, I mean, I don't know, do you know if it was common back then to, like, you know, after some guy's son dies, if you bring him your sword, that all of a sudden within 10 minutes you are now his official son and the husband of his son's wife?
And then they set up the wife was actually married to him for a week before he left to make it seem more like it's totally cool if they hook up later.
I know.
I think the amount, words I will say, it's just indulgent, and I think lazy at the same time.
It was definitely Scott's laziest movie today. It's Scott's worst movie, I think.
It's interesting, it's because in the battle sequence, there's just amazing costumes. There seemed like there was a possibility for some really unique action sequences.
Not only that, I mean the filming of it looked great. I mean, it had great cinematography. The settings and everything were amazing. And
this is the cast you want in a Robin Hood film. If you want to do it that way. I mean, I think Crow's a bit older than you would probably want your Robin Hood. But if it's someone who was 10 years in the Crusade and has come back, okay, I can totally buy it. But for me, I was kind of on the edge of this film the whole time, and there's people were laughing at many moments of the film that were not intended to be funny. And I just gave up at the end of the film where there's this huge battle sequence. And this is going to be a spoiler, but I'm spoiling it because I want to detract you from watching this film. Is Maid Marian, who has set up no fighting skills at all, suits up in armor and rides out on a horse secretly. And there's these band of, like, Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys, yeah.
Who are credited in...
Peter Pan's Boys.
Yeah, credited at the end of the film as the Feral Boys. Rides out with them on ponies and sticks and no armor and some bows. And they have this little force and they ride out, and Robin's like, you know, oh, he's just basically like, oh, you're going to do whatever you want kind of attitude. And he's just like, go around the back and, you know, protect our flank or something like that. And I'm just like, they gave up. Done. And it seemed like
these armorless Lost Boys riding on the back of ponies.
Which is funny because she goes into the battle and she doesn't really fight very well.
Well, she goes in the fight and then just gets her ass kicked.
Yeah, which seems odd because we've seen her do well in, like, Elizabeth and things like that.
I'm surprised she didn't get killed in this movie.
Yeah, and then they're making out with his huge bloody head wound covering his face.
Oh, that was sick, dude. The blood was like running down in her mouth while they were making out. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
So, yeah, this film, for me, I've heard some people give good reviews off this. I'm not gonna name who they are, because I respect their opinion on most films. But this film was bad. I'm wondering if there's a good director's cut that's gonna come out of this. Maybe there was some stuff that was missing, but I feel like this film will not get a sequel, and should have been made in the original. The original material should have been made, and it would have been way more interesting.
Now let me give you a quick rundown of how this film came to be and why it ended up being so bad. As we talked about earlier, there was a script called Nottingham. this is what was going to push the movie in. This is what got the movie to be made. This is what got Ridley Scott and Russell Crowe involved in the film. Now, this original script told the tale from the perspective of the Sheriff of Nottingham. It's as if it was about him investigating Robin Hood's actions, trying to figure out who it was that was terrorizing the area. So it was from a totally different point of view from the one that we currently have. So what happened, apparently, Ridley Scott didn't like it because it seemed like the film was going to be more like a CSI episode but in Robin Hood time. So when Scott and Crowe came on board, they hired a guy to come in and just rewrite the script. An already good script. And what happened is Scott wanted the movie to be about archery. He wanted to focus on the archers of the film. So they...
Which I can see that they did.
Yeah, obviously. So that's what they did, and that's kind of the turn of the end of a good film, I guess.
Yeah.
So that didn't work out, and I don't know why they signed on in the first place if they didn't like the script, because neither Crowe or Scott liked the script. And then it was after that that they came up with the idea that the Sheriff of Nottingham and Robin Hood would be the same person. You know what I mean? So he'd kind of be chasing himself.
I love that concept, by the way. Like, that's the one, like, during the production of this film, that kind of, as it was going through the various rewrites and stuff, when this version kind of came to light and everybody found out that this was what they were talking about, most people were like, that sounds like a really awful idea, and I feel like I was very vocally in the minority about like how much yes. I really thought that would be kind of a cool thing, just because, for the simple reason, like, you've never seen anything like that before.
It seems like it would be a cool idea. It's like the Clark and Lois investigating Superman type of story.
Well, yeah, and it was described as like a Fight Club type Robin Hood movie. So... I don't know. After watching this, that definitely would have been a better film, I think. It definitely would have been interesting because it's a take you've never seen before on the character.
It would have been entertaining, and it would have been something you would have at least wanted to watch twice.
But then here's the thing, though.
Not almost want to walk out on it.
You know, they wrote a couple drafts of the screenplay that were, did this and that. Everyone thought it was too silly, so they ended up dropping that idea, and they moved on with pretty much what we currently have. So
I gotta say, just the only good thing about this whole movie thing is the History Channel
documentary on the legend of Robin Hood.
Go watch that, because that's
something
actually
you can watch a couple over and over again, because that's actually interesting.
Yeah, nice. It gets fully into some details, and I mean, you have Crowe and Scott talking about stuff, and it's funny because Crowe kind of doesn't know what he's talking about sometimes.
All right, so let me ask. I remember reading that Sienna Miller was initially signed on to play Maid Marian, and this is when the film got delayed for a long time. There was some shooting problems, I think. Like, they were filming outside, and like the leaves started changing colors, and like in the middle of production, and they weren't supposed to be that way, kind of in the continuity of the story, so they had to delay the entire movie for like, I think, 6 months or something until there was just a bunch of problems with this movie. And then at the same time, it was going through these kind of script reiterations, but anyway, at one point Sienna Miller was signed on to play Maid Marian, and then Russell Crowe, the decision was made that Russell Crowe was too large, was like too overweight for the audience to believe that he was with Sienna Miller's character, who obviously Sienna Miller is like super skinny, and that's why they ended up getting Cate Blanchett, who personally I don't think is like much bigger than Sienna Miller, really.
Well, but I think she has the physical presence.
She has a presence.
Yeah. So, but what did you guys think about that?
And the age appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. And that was another part of it, too, that Sienna Miller seemed way too young for this version of Robin Hood, especially a kind of schlubby one. But what did you guys think about their performances, the two lead actors' performances? I mean, I realize that neither one of you is particularly hot on the film overall, but, like, how did they do acting-wise?
They did fine. I don't really have any complaints about the acting in the film. I thought everybody...
It's just the material they had to work with.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It was just a bad script, bad material, bad directing. I mean, the acting was fine for what it was. It just, they had to work with what they had to work with.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reason I was kind of a little bit of support of this film a while ago was I kept thinking, okay, Ridley Scott is returning to this historical action genre that he's done many times before now. Right. And so I was thinking, I was obviously giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I don't know now if I should have done that, but my thought process was, okay, he must be doing something, he must have something new to contribute to the genre. That's why he's returning to this, not he's just returning because he's kind of familiar with this and wants to do kind of the same shtick over again. I figured there must be some sort of vision that he wants to share with everybody, and apparently that's not the case. Am I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just, a bunch of egos get together and, you get all these big actors and stuff, and what happens? That everybody's pulling in every different direction, and you end up with a crappy movie. So I guess none of us really at this time can recommend it.
What grade would you give it from a to F scale?
I'd say it's like a D+.
D+.
I was gonna say C-.
C-. All right, so somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It's not a film that's unwatchable, but it is a film that is not good, and it's not even I would say mediocre. It's just there's parts of it. It's like, hey, if you want to watch some battles, you want to see some stuff. If you've got time to kill, maybe watch the film, but.
Yeah, it seems like you just find those clips on YouTube later or something.
Yeah, there's nothing new, this is just not a film that's breaking ground. It should have not been made.
It just is.
Yeah.
It exists.
It feels like this talent should have been pointed to something else.
Yeah. So, Ben.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about your Lost Live event that you attended recently?
Okay.
I'd love to hear about it.
Fantastic. I'm going to tell you about it. So Thursday night, I went down to UCLA with a friend of mine who ended up scoring me tickets at the last minute. Shout out to Amy. That was awesome.
Amy, what's up?
Yeah, she hooked me up. So Royce Hall at UCLA, which is a gorgeous building. I think it seats like 1,800 people or something. The cool part, it started from the very beginning. The tickets for the event actually looked like Oceanic A-15 plane tickets, which was really nice. Cool. They had, like, your seat number and stuff, and down at the bottom there's, like, serial numbers, which were, of course, the numbers, the Hurley's, infamous lottery numbers and all that from the show. So there was a couple little cool touches already, before we even got there. And so you get there, and the entire concert was essentially a... the show was a concert for Michael Giacchino, who's the composer of all of the music for Lost. He's also the Academy Award-winning composer of Pixar's Up, which came out this past year. So the kind of event opened with a letter from George Lucas read aloud to the producers of the show, essentially with Lucas kind of joking about how he made up Star Wars as he was going along, and just congratulating Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse for the show that they've given to us for the past 6 years, which was cool. Everybody, was kind of excited to hear from George Lucas, and those guys especially were, like, honored to hear that, so that was kind of a cool thing. And then, so the producers came out, and beforehand, there was some press materials and stuff about the event that said that three of the actors were going to be there. So we're like, oh, okay, that's cool. We'll get to see some of the actors. They actually ended up bringing out 20 of the actors from the show. Everybody from, and I'll just list their character names because I don't have all of the actors' names in front of me, but everybody from, Desmond and Penny and Faraday and Charlotte and Sawyer and Hurley and Ben and Jin and, I mean, just like a lot of the big name people. I mean, there Jack, Kate, and Locke were not there, but a lot of the other big name actors were there. And people, you know, obviously these were like diehard Lost fans at this event, so people went nuts with the introduction of each person. Yeah, it was really cool. Michael and Walt, and like even like kind of obscure people, like the guy who plays young Ben in you know last season and stuff was there. The Man in Black, just a bunch of the cast members. So that was pretty cool. They ended up getting off the stage and just sitting in the front row and listening to the concert. Giacchino actually conducted like a 47-piece orchestra made up of some people, like musicians that actually helped him record music for the show and kind of local musicians. And a lot of the money from the proceeds of the show were going to kind of give music scholarships to kids in the area and stuff. So it was all for a good cause.
Nice.
And then, so after the, like in between the concert, in between the various songs that they played, they had like slideshows and stuff of, or during, I should say, during the songs that they played, they had slideshows of the characters and different like still shots and stuff from all the series. So it was cool to watch. And after that part that I was kind of maybe even more excited about than hearing Giacchino, who was brilliant, by the way, and he also played the opening theme, or the main theme for Up, as kind of like a bonus track for everybody there, and everybody enjoyed that. But the part that I was almost more excited to see was that they debuted what will be tonight's episode for us, like, essentially 5 days early. So all the people in that room got to see the episode called What They Died For, which is actually going to be airing, as we record this, it will be airing on the West Coast pretty soon. By the time you guys hear this podcast, it will have already played. But, so that was cool to see, like, they brought down this huge theater screen and kicked on the surround sound. It was like watching a movie version of this episode of Lost in a theater with 1,800 people. It was pretty amazing, really. Like, I've never experienced, obviously never watched it with that many people. I rarely watch it with many people at all, because I just like, you know, as most Lost fans can attest, you like to just tell people to shut up and you want to hear every detail. But this was, it was much different experience. There was people laughing at jokes and stuff, and like clapping, applauding heavily at all of the act breaks and stuff, because there was no commercials, but they cut to black where the commercials would be, and people were like, you know, getting really into it and stuff. So I can't wait to actually watch the episode again. I actually missed some of the dialogue because of the crowd reaction, which was totally fine because I knew I'd be able to see it again. But overall, it was a great event. Like, it was just a really cool thing. They were selling a bunch of merchandise and stuff, and like all the actors being there was a really cool thing. And hearing Giacchino kind of, this is only the second time that he's ever conducted music from Lost in a live setting before. So it was really like a celebration of the show. From, there was in the audience, there were people who worked on the show out in Hawaii and stuff, a lot of representatives from ABC and stuff. So it was, the entire event was just a celebration of Lost and what it's meant to people over the past few years. And yeah, it was pretty great to be there.
Well, I wish I could have gone to that, because that would have been awesome, and I am jealous of you. But I will watch the episode tonight, and then for my own opinion.
Yes.
And then it'll be fun.
I won't give any spoilers, but I really, really enjoyed the episode, so.
Sounds good.
Yep.
I like it. All right, so on to some Geek Tyrant news. Just really quick, wanted to point out, in case you haven't noticed, usually we put this at the end of the blog. Now we're going to kind of put it in the middle so you hear it. But we have another blog that we've started called Blog Within a Blog. And it is us blogging about blogging, or just, you know, sharing our thoughts about, you know, what we do when we're not blogging, but we're always blogging.
It's very meta.
Yeah. 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 It's just a way for our readers to get to know us better, you know, see our personalities a little bit more.
It's
stuff that isn't like, and we also post stuff that we wouldn't normally post to the website. It's just stuff that, you know, any thoughts or feelings that we have or anything that we kind of go into. Or like this last week, I posted, you know, I showed my kids The Dark Crystal for the first time. So I did a little blog on that, you know, about that experience of sharing that with my kids, which, you know, was cool. But
wouldn't be news on Geek Tyrant. But...
Yeah, it wouldn't be news on Geek Tyrant. Just hey, that's something I did that I thought was cool.
Yeah, just a little bit of insight.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just starting this out, so you know it's still kind of a new thing for us. We're still just trying to get into it a little bit more, but it's there, and things are being written on there, and you should definitely check it out when you get a chance. You can see it in the sidebar of our main website on the right-hand side, blog within a blog. Click on that. It'll take you there. You can read some more stuff if you want. What's up?
Cool.
So, on to some other geek news. Stretch Armstrong. That movie's happening, right?
Which I can't believe, but go ahead.
We've talked about it before. It's not crazy big news or whatever. But here's the thing. When it first broke, and, you know, this being done at Universal Pictures, and you have Imagine Entertainment doing it, you've got, you know, Brian Grazer producing it with Ron Howard, and, you know, it's got a couple, you know, the guy that's writing it, his name's Nick Stroller. He wrote and directed Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Rob Letterman, the guy who directed the animated movie Shark Tale, is directing the movie, and it will star Taylor Lautner from, you know, the Twilight series. Yay, right? So
is this a comedy?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I thought the only way they could get away with doing this is by making it a comedy, you know? Making it funny. Because Stretch Armstrong
is like one part of the Fantastic Four.
Can you take... Have you seen the Stretch Armstrong toy?
Yeah. I used to have one. Right.
Can I you cut take mine
that,
open.
Yeah, Sorry. Me too. Can you take that seriously?
No, I can't take it.
If you see Stretch Armstrong as a serious movie...
I couldn't take the commercials seriously, and I was... 5 or 10?
Yeah.
I thought for sure they were going to go the comedic route. Especially after Taylor Lautner went on Saturday Night Live and kind of did a decent job on that. I thought, okay, this guy could be funny. Maybe they'll turn it into a comedy, right? Wrong.
Are you telling me that's not the case, Dr. Raven?
That's not the case. I'm telling you that they are going to make a Stretch Armstrong movie serious.
Wow.
They want it to be serious and They're, gritty.
They want that Oscar.
No joke. It's insane. I'm baffled by this. But the writer of the movie recently did an interview with ComingSoon.net. And in the interview, he said that – here's what he said. He says – you know, he asked the director. He's like, please let me write it. And then he goes on to say that it's a superhero origin story. And they're taking it totally seriously. Those are his words. Taking it totally seriously. Kind of in the tone of Iron Man? Ugh. What?
You know, this is...
Well, you think Downey, and then you think Taylor Lautner, and you go, they have the same type of charisma. Isn't that what you think? And the timing, you go, he is kind of like a young Chaplin. Oh wait, I'm talking about Downey.
It's crazy, and you know, and this Stretch Armstrong does not have a huge following. The toy came out in the 70s and went through the 80s. It disappeared for some time. Now it's kind of back. I don't know. I haven't been to the toy store in a while.
Remember the villain, the red guy. He was Stretch Armstrong, but red.
I do not remember that
head.
At all.
Yeah.
So you know, and they admit that there aren't a ton of Stretch Armstrong fans out there. You know, they can admit that. And so you know, there's no backstory to Stretch Armstrong, so they're totally creating this whole origin story of something that never existed. And here's another thing that gets me in this interview that he says. He goes that they've cracked a pretty cool story. And he says, I think Rob has a really cool take on what this can be. And it's going to be a huge budget, spectacular thing. And he goes on to say that I love Iron Man. I love The Dark Knight. And it's exciting to get to play in this world.
All right. Oh, you know, God. What? It's quotes like that, and it's stories like these that legitimately make me want to never read another piece of movie news, or maybe even never watch another movie again. Because it's things like, I love Batman Begins, you know, probably more than the next guy, But not every movie needs a dark and gritty origin story. This is freaking ridiculous. I can't believe
it's
that they're doing this.
Stretch Armstrong.
And he's saying that with a straight face, like, yeah, this character inhabits the same type of, you know, world. We're gonna do a bunch of world building and create. It's like, it's a freaking rubber toy. You know, when a ViewMaster 3D film gets greenlit, or a film about a Magic 8-Ball, it's like, all bets are off. Like, I really just want to be, just throw down the microphone right now and just be like, I give up. I'm walking
away. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I mean, at least give us some hints. Like, the guys who are making Battleship at least hinted that there was going to be aliens. At least we have that. But Stretch Armstrong, for goodness sake, in the Fantastic Four, I'm just remembering there's a sequence where Mr. Fantastic is all stretched out and stuff. And the Human Torch goes, oh my gosh, that's gross. How, if you have amazing effects and you have a person stretching, that is disgusting looking. And only in The Incredibles, when you have an animated character stretch out and they...
That's the only way it works. And only way. Because even watching Mr. Fantastic in Fantastic Four, I was just going to bring that up. I could not take that seriously. I was like, no.
Yeah.
So they're going to make a whole movie pretty much based on a guy that has a superpowers of stretching, and it's being compared to Iron Man and The Dark Knight. On top of that, their Universal Pictures is actually going to give this movie a huge budget? Are they going to give it the same budget that Iron Man and The Dark Knight had?
Universal has just really made some kind of terrible decisions lately. I like them as a studio, but they just, man, they have had some bad luck over the past couple years. Just greenlighting things that have not panned out well at all, and just have been just disasters at the box office. Like, this, I cannot imagine them doing this movie and taking it seriously and expecting people to like, I understand that Brian Grazer and Ron Howard and, you know, Imagine Entertainment are involved with this, and that, those are some big names, you know. I'm not going to doubt that. Those are some freaking huge Hollywood players. But to see them attach their names to this when there's no story attached, there's no source material to base this off of, it's just based on a freaking toy, you know, it's nothing more than a cash grab. It's not like they can have respect for the character or anything, because it doesn't exist. There's no history.
Not only is it just a toy, but it's a toy no one plays with anymore.
Right, yeah, completely
irrelevant
toy. I don't
know a kid that has a Stretch Armstrong toy right now.
Yeah.
They don't even sell it anymore. And they would have to bring it back.
Yeah.
And
it's not like Transformers.
And this is obviously a way that Hasbro is like, hey, we could bring the toy back through the movie. You know,
I would be
like,
more excited about another Inspector Gadget film I'm more excited about Smurfs than I am about a Stretch Armstrong film.
You'd think people wouldn't respond to this, but apparently, you know, I don't know what these people are thinking, but they, you know, this guy says, he's like, the film's going to be something that's just gigantic and exciting, but a totally grounded human story at the center of that. I think people are going to respond to.
That's so disheartening to hear, because I kind of like Nick Stoller, too. I really enjoyed Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And,
right?
And I had a bit more respect for him than those comments would.
I just can't see this movie being taken seriously, period. If they go into a serious mode and try to make it serious, it's going to end up being funny anyway, because it's going to be one of those funny things like, are they really trying to make this serious? Because that's pretty funny.
Can you imagine the trailer? Can you guys just imagine the trailer for this movie? It's going to be ridiculous.
I imagine it kind of like something where he's going to be stretching and flipping, and he's going to be tying up bad guys.
There's got to be
parkour.
And
then he's some parkour. He's going to roll. He might take shapes. I imagine a sequence where he is doing some kind of like Spider-Man swinging through the city,
but using only his arms.
I imagine some kind of accident, because I don't believe him being a scientist or something. Or
Taylor Lautner's not old enough to be a real scientist.
Yeah.
So anyway, kind of disappointing on that end of things. A couple other little tidbits of information that I want to bring out and talk about. One, just really quick, want to talk about this. Nathan Fillion, it's rumored that there's a possibility he's going to be cast as Ant-Man. Who knows if this is true or not, but I think it brings up a good point that Nathan Fillion should have a role in one of these Marvel superhero movies. And I think Ant-Man would be cool. If not, another one. But, the fans are asking for it. The guy needs a superhero flick to star in.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Why not let it be Ant-Man?
I know P. Vader and I are both fans of Firefly.
Yeah, I'm glad.
And here's the cool thing about that. You know, Joss Whedon since he's directing the Avengers, who's to say that maybe he doesn't have a hand in possibly bringing him in, right?
That would be great. I would love that.
Whedon likes to work with people that he's already worked with.
Yeah, I'm a little, my knowledge of Ant-Man is a little bit vague, but I know he is Ant-Man, and then he eventually changes his name to another character. I forgot what the character's name is.
Yeah, my knowledge of Ant-Man is little to nothing.
Yeah, because I know he goes super small, and he has these super small adventures, but then I think he does the opposite, where he's able to grow himself like 100 times in size.
Exactly, yeah.
And that is a little bit more interesting visual character.
Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine Nathan Fillion stomp, 100-foot Nathan Fillion stomping through an Avengers movie?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you know what that means? Your kind of guess about Joss Whedon bringing in other actors that he likes. You know what that means, right? Is a possible Neil Patrick Harris as Galactus or something.
Oh, that would be awesome. But yeah, I mean, I just think it'd be cool. Nathan Fillion needs to have his day in a comic book movie, and I'm sure that day's coming. Whether it's Ant-Man or not, I think it'd be fun to see him in one.
The dude just needs some more high-profile work. Like, he's such a great actor, and he's so charismatic.
I'm surprised he doesn't work enough. He doesn't get enough good roles, and I don't know why that is, but
yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. What do we know? We just talk about movies and TV shows and run a blog. Like, no one listens to us. Sheesh. All right, so did anybody see the Smallville season finale?
Yes.
What'd you guys think? Spill it, yo.
I think we posted it on the site, and it's pretty much, it looks like next season he's wearing the suit. And it feels like you've delayed impossible. I don't know how they've been able to delay this moment.
Well, here's the thing is, when they first started, one of the deals was
No tights, no flight.
Yeah.
No tights, no flight. Yeah. And
yep. That's what Tom Welling wanted. He did not want to put on the suit. And so that was, unless he's changed his mind, I don't see it happening even next season. I think it's gotten too far. It's going to end. It's the last shot of the, when the series ends, that will be it. We will see him in the last frame of the last episode of Smallville.
That would be a good gimmick. I don't know how they're going to be able to get away with going an entire 10th season. 10 seasons without showing him in the Superman suit.
You never know. Anything's possible. Anything's possible.
Yeah, there's a book that I read that basically it takes Superman, and it has his early years, and the time period is like, I think, about a couple of years, like a year before World War II. And I think the story of Superman kind of becoming Superman is an interesting story, because we've seen the origin and we've seen Superman, but we've not seen Superman becoming Superman. We've seen Superboy, but we haven't seen him
kind of developing
develop who he is with people, his credibility, because once he becomes Superman, he has to reestablish with the entire world this person, and he has to hold up all these types of things, and it can be quite hard to be seen as this particular
savior,
the Masonic type archetype that they put through Superman. So, I mean, there's a lot more that they can play with. And I think they've done as much as they can possibly have done with the Clark character.
10th season's it. They're ending it. 10th season's going to be the last season. I really enjoyed this season.
You're speculating, though.
And they're going to end it strong. They're going to end it strong. You know they're going to end it strong. And I think they're going to give the fans what they want, but you never know.
Or maybe they end Smallville and start a Superman TV series.
That would be amazing. Tom Welling should never do anything else. He should just do it until he's 45.
But I don't think they'll do that. As much as I would love that, and that would be like incredibly awesome, I don't think it'll go there. But I hope it would. CW, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next season, though. Surprised how many people don't watch Smallville anymore.
But, are you kidding me? There's been like four seasons. After six seasons, I was highly contemplating not watching the show anymore.
I did stop watching for a while. I forgot what season, but
it was season three.
Yeah.
Because I stopped watching season three because it was just so bad. Then I got back into season four, and I was like, all right, it's getting good again. And now it's steadily getting better, so
yeah.
Awesome. Now, you know, talk about one, you know, series that is kind of coming to an end, and then there's the new series that's actually come to an end. Heroes has come to an end. NBC has canceled this superhero show. It's over. Does anybody care?
No. I watched one episode of it in the early seasons, and I was like, this is pretty good. This might be something that I could get into.
I watched every season.
You've seen every episode, really?
I've seen every episode.
How? You must have a high tolerance for the first season was great, and then the second season
I watched it to complain about it.
That's kind of like what I'm doing with Smallville, honestly. Yeah.
But, I watched every episode. Not that I enjoyed the last, three seasons, but I still watched them.
So you're not sad to see it go,
I don't care that it ended. It's whatever. It's in the past. It's over.
I hope there's a lot of lessons to be learned out of Heroes about planning a show, about having a direction for it. I think what we saw with Lost is, you know, when they finally had a final end, a closing to it, there was a target to go for, and they knew where they wanted the story to go. Heroes never had that. They had so many storylines that had resolutions that were so anticlimactic, or villains that were so wishy-washy, or heroes that were more villainous than the villains at some moments, and then the decision to make your villains good guys, and I mean, it was just so confusing. It didn't feel like they were keeping to their supposed comic book roots. It just felt like soap opera writing that was completely lazy and had no foresight.
The film, the TV show had a lot of potential. It could have been great. Unfortunately, they just dropped the ball and got some bad writers on there. Didn't know really where to take the story. I don't know. But it's over, so we don't need to worry about Heroes anymore. So coming out in theaters this week, we've got MacGruber. I think that's our pick for the week. Is that right? Everybody excited for MacGruber?
It's getting pretty good reviews.
Yeah, surprisingly good buzz coming off of it. I mean, you know, it based on an SNL skit especially, those generally haven't been the most successful movies.
I think some stuff that has been described like the best SNL film since Wayne's World, which if you think about it, has there been a good SNL-based film since Wayne's World?
Nope.
Exactly. I mean, the cast has gone on to other
Let's
funny
bring
films.
Bring on the MacGruber. Let's do it.
I just like the fact that Val Kilmer's involved. I really enjoy Val Kilmer, even though he's kind of in his pudgy years now. But I think he'll be a good villain.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. That's Geek Tyrant's movie pick of the week. It's MacGruber. Then this Sunday, is the Lost finale. We will see.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah.
The end of Lost.
Yeah. Which we're all looking forward to. All 4.5 hours of it. The 2-hour retrospective and then the 2.5 hour finale.
Rock on and let's tune in and let's enjoy Lost while we can because it's almost over.
It's bittersweet, man. I love Lost so much, and I do want to see it come to an end. I do want the resolution of it, but at the same time, it's gonna take a piece of me with it, you know.
What is there to look? I mean, what do we have?
There's nothing.
Battlestar Galactica's done.
Gonna be able to fill that gap. For
me. There's no other. I mean, I'm trying to think of what TV series out there.
I feel
fills
you, man.
This dramatic.
Yeah, there's nothing as epic out
so
there.
So sad. I don't know what I'm gonna do. What am I gonna watch on TV? I'll tell you what I'm gonna watch. Breaking Bad, yo.
I've heard really great things about that. I still need to check it
what
out.
Is it, what was this? It's an HBO miniseries.
Is that what you're talking about?
It's produced by like Martin Scorsese.
Oh, Boardwalk Empire.
Empire.
Yeah, yes,
that looks interesting. Awesome. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, it's good.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi, right?
I think. Steve Buscemi and Sopranos guys and
good
all that.
Good times right there, folks.
Yeah, that looks like it's gonna be good. So hopefully,
that might be able to fill the void that Lost leaves behind.
But I feel like there should be. There's a lot more comedies, successful comedies out there than dramas right now.
Yeah.
Well. Before we sign off, just want to remind everybody that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and listen to us whenever you want. Like if you're bored at work, you know, that's a good time to tune in.
Washing the dishes.
And listen to us washing the dishes, cleaning the house.
Riding
the
train. Not
while vacuuming, though, because you won't be able to hear us unless you have your headphones on. putting the kids to bed, you know, listen to the podcast. Be like telling sweet stories to your children. That just didn't sound right, did it? So you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can become a fan of ours on Facebook. Like if you're a fan of Geek Tyrant, then join Geek Tyrant Fans on Facebook because that would be cool. It's there. You might as well. And we don't bug you that much either. Just, you know, with the news, all the news we give, which is, you know, why you subscribe to us in the first place.
Right.
So, rock on with Facebook. then there's the Twitter. You gotta love the Twitter. Twitter's like gold in these parts.
Twitter might be my only social thing in the future because I'm thinking about leaving Facebook if there's a good alternative out there.
I think Twitter is that alternative, personally. But.
Yeah.
So, hit us up on Twitter. You know, hang out.
Twitter.com/GeekTyrant.
Yeah. That's it.
I know Comic-Con is a whiles away, but, I mean, if you follow us on Twitter, we do meetups and we do cool things like that.
Yeah, we do meetups. We hang out. We have giveaways, you know, give free stuff out sometimes when we have it. So that's about it. That's our podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed listening to us. It's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been a pleasure talking to the people on the panel, as always.
Indeed. You too, sir.
Well, thank you. But other than that, I think we're all good.
Sounds good.
So enjoy the geek news. Keep hitting up the website. Yeah, and make comments. You know, we do read the comments that you leave in the rant back section, so we may not always respond back because, you know, we're always so busy, but we read them. Well, that was Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast, episode number 72, signing off.